Welcome to Entrepreneur Eats, a conversation about business and community with a side of eats. My name is Deanna Smith, and I'm your host. This is Entrepreneur Eats, and I am your host, Deanna Smith, and I'm here with Daniel Kerwin, and he's going to tell us all about this incredible adventure he's on.
I guess where to start from the beginning, grew up here in San Diego, was very passionate about politics when I was in high school, wanted to go into politics, went to school in Washington, D.C. with that intent, got there, realized that politics was not for me, was more interested in doing cool things, getting things done, kind of took a windy road through finance and tech, ended up now in Texas working for a clean tech company, the Global Reach, Octopus Energy, and kind of what I'm working on there is a way to help balance the Texas power grid. So we use smart devices like smart thermostats, EVs, batteries to help offset peak demand. So that's my day job, trying to make a big green dent in the world, kind of ease that energy transition as Texas becomes one of the leaders in solar and wind energy. And then in my spare time, which I'm also very excited about, I started a project called Fix That For You. The goal is to help connect homeowners to home improvement professionals with the lowest friction possible. So I, working in energy, wanted to get a heat pump installed in my house in Texas and put all my information in on Angie, Thumbtack, Yelp. I got 80 phone calls over 2 weeks.
Oh my gosh, that must have been so annoying.
It was, right? Angie, those services ended up selling my contact information to the contractors that purchased leads. And, you know, working full-time, planning a wedding, doing all of this stuff, I didn't have time to get quotes and answer these calls. I just wanted to be quoted what it would be for a heat pump.
And did you find that they were high-pressure phone calls?
I didn't answer them because I don't answer unknown numbers. It also was all hours of the day. I would get phone calls at 9 p.m. on a Thursday. I would get phone calls at 2 p.m. on a Saturday. You know, it's this very sort of analog process where you have to conduct business over the phone, over email, instead of just saying, here are my details, please give me a quote. And so what I've built is a way for homeowners to say, I want this service. And then AI will ask you the questions that a contractor would ask you to be able to provide a quote. You answer them. It takes those details, and then it will call them on your behalf to try and solicit that quote, and then follow up with an email to get it in writing.
Wow, it's almost like reverse.
Exactly. So the goal is to be able to, both on the homeowner side and the professional side, be able to provide and solicit information for a quote without ever having to pick up a phone, send an email.
And so where do these phone calls go? Do you have a bunch of contractors just waiting for you to call? Or
No, so it's actually also AI. The advancements in AI technology, particularly voice AI, provided a prompt. You provided the details, and it sounds almost disturbingly human-like. You know, it still sounds a little bit off. There's weird pauses at times. It takes a little bit to respond at moments, but it works. So the biggest challenge will just be, do professionals actually want to provide that quote over the phone or not? Because to your point, it's sort of flipping the script. There's a power imbalance when one side has all of the information, and we're trying to take that and so, you know, provide kind of a more two-sided marketplace so that there's more transparency in the pricing. It's easier to get those quotes, understand what qualifications a professional has, and be able to compare multiple providers so that you know that you're getting the best professional at the best price.
So is this already in motion?
Yes. So I've built the minimum viable product. We have our website up. It's ft-fy.com. Fix That For You. The beta is live as of Monday of last week.
Congratulations. So, wow.
Thank you. Anyone can go and sign up and just give it a try, trying to find the kinks in the system. You know, it's early days, so there's things that aren't going to work, but we want to find those and make them better. There's also kind of an AI handyman. It's almost just kind of a chatbot, but you say, hey, you know, this is a real example for me. I have my third floor sink is backing up with water when there's no water running. You know, what might it be? And then it'll ask these probing questions like, okay, is your AC unit on the third floor? Yes. Okay, there's probably water backing up from the AC into the sink. what you can do is you can take the joints underneath the sink, try and empty it out. There's probably some coolant gunk stuck in there. Just try and clean it up. If that doesn't work, here's five professionals that you can reach out to that can come and help you.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
So how do you find the professionals?
Essentially, just Google search, right? So you input your project details. It'll go out and search on those parameters. Then it looks through their websites. It looks through their reviews. And it will make a recommendation for you to call, you know, X, Y, and Z professional based off of the specific details of your product or project, rather. Basically trying to make it a very bespoke process to you, what you need, to just try and make it as easy as possible.
That's right? Amazing. And it just clicked in my head what that AI thing is doing. Mm-hmm. Goes to Google, like a normal person would go to Google and do all of that busy work. Mm-hmm. And find out which ones are best suited for what your job is going to be.
Exactly.
Or what, like you said, what you need.
Exactly.
Okay.
What we're challenging is the business model of the incumbents right now. So you have Angie, Yelp, Thumbtack, all of these. They sell your data in one of two ways. They'll either sell your contact information as a lead, or, for example, with Yelp, it's basically like Google, where they will prioritize certain professionals that pay for clicks through to their page. So you get a list of people who essentially paid to be put in front of you.
Right. Not necessarily that they're the best. They're
exactly.
Just paid the fee.
Exactly. And so it's sort of the age-old adage, you know, if you're not paying for a product, you are the product. Mm-hmm. You know, ultimately, it's very difficult today to know that you're seeing the most qualified people, sort of holistic universe of the professionals that can service your project, know what credentials that they have and get that price transparency to understand, am I paying the right price for this type of work?
Mm-hmm. But more importantly, am I finding the right person?
Exactly.
Because the people who go on to those Angie's List and things like that, they pay a fee like one time and they sign up and then that's it, right? I mean, I would imagine, because contractors don't have time to update their site on Angie or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But if you go to Google and you check out their website or whatever their five stars mm-hmm. rating is, mm-hmm. It's real time because people are putting and updating and adding.
Exactly. And I think even with Google, the nice thing about the service that I've built is it sort of filters through the noise even on Google. Right? Google has gotten very cluttered with, you have your AI recommendation of what they think you should be looking at, and then you have three or four sponsored links, and then the things that are like what you searched, and then halfway or three quarters of the way down the page, you finally get to the results of sort of the organic search. And so sort of everywhere you turn today, the results that are presented to you are the results of people who have paid to be put there. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, because you might find the person that you're looking for that way, but it definitely biases the results in a way that can make it so that you're not finding that right person.
So I'm very impressed with this whole concept. How did you decide, and where did the idea come from?
Very personal pain point, trying to install that heat pump in my house. you know, we have a gas furnace today. When we bought the house, the general inspector said, hey, you probably want to replace this at some point. It's in our master bedroom closet behind a couple of wooden doors. He said, you know, hey, this is a fire hazard. This is also a carbon monoxide hazard. You should probably get this fixed. So always knew we were going to replace it. Finally got to October, November, started thinking, okay, it's probably time to think about replacing that. Working in sort of the clean tech, heat pump was always the way that we wanted to go. But there are so many HVAC contractors in Houston, especially, right? You know, living in Houston without AC is impossible these days. And I just found that process so frustrating that I thought there had to be a better way to do this. Sort of came up with that better way, talked to friends, talked to family. They said, you know, hey, I would use this. So it turned from a personal project into something that, hey, maybe there's a business here. I think that's the best way to sort of build a business, is identify a pain point, say, how big of a problem is this? If I'm feeling this, are other people feeling it? Would people pay to use this? And then just trying to meet that demand in a way that actually solves someone's problem.
Tell me a little bit about your experience in AI.
Sure. So probably 2022, I started working for an AI startup in New York. This is right before ChatGPT and all of the other large language model hype really started. So not really there from the beginning, but from sort of this phase, saw all of those use cases that AI could be used for. And I think just being exposed to that and seeing how that developed, it develops at a breakneck pace, right? Just trying to stay on top of the latest developments in large language models is almost a fool's errand. There's so many changes happening every single day. But recognizing that while we're, I don't think, close to artificial general intelligence, that there are a lot of use cases that we can serve today to make our lives easier and free up our time to do the things that we either need to do or care about more, right? Instead of trying to parse through 20 different HVAC contractors, planning a wedding, you know, planning a birthday, traveling out to San Diego to be with family for the holidays. Just kind of having that time back is super valuable. And that's what I think I've seen this development of AI be over the last 3 years or so.
And how long ago was your AI startup?
This was 2022. So the AI startup had been around since 2016, 2017. And then I joined in 2022. Sort of still looking for product market fit. We'd had some services projects that took off, but something that was sort of generally available for businesses was still kind of eluding us. I saw this project that we had deployed for a large record company, and I said, hey, you know, the technology that we're using to look at social media to find these signals for up-and-coming artists is generalizable, right? We can say there was this idea of a network-based approach to social media data collection instead of just trying to scrape everything everywhere. If you look at sort of focal points in a network, you can identify the people that have influence. And then you can use AI to identify and quantify that influence and focus on collecting that data and running it through other sort of AI models, large language models, to detect the trends and the topics that they're starting to talk about. And if you can identify who those influencers are, you know, lowercase influencers, not capital I influencers, you can identify a trend before it's a trend. And so we were able to take that, use it for brand management, public relations. There were even use cases in identifying and counteracting misinformation and disinformation from nefarious actors at the state level. And so took that product, kind of saw that through ideation to product deployment, product market fit, kind of zero to one in every sense of the form.
And this, and I feel like this is a short amount of time for you to be actually live today. Mm-hmm. And you launched on last week, Monday?
Yep, last week.
So in 2022, you got exposed to AI, like boots on the ground, and you've already developed something to help our lives just be better and faster and save time.
The wonderful thing about AI is that it turns one person into 10 people. You don't need to be an expert in everything. You just need to be able to articulate what you want very clearly. And you're going to run into some challenges, right? AI is kind of like I sort of liken it to a toddler or a child in that it takes things very literally. You need to be very specific with, hey, I want this, this, and this, not this. But if you're able to figure out how to prompt it to best get the results that you're looking for, it's like a superpower. Right, you can do 5 days of work in a few hours.
I have minimal experience with it, but when I use it, and I am very specific, it's very, very helpful. Mm-hmm. And it blows my mind every time. It's just so, like, you give it a couple sentences, and then boom, you get pretty much what you want. So tell me a little bit more about your service. I'm a new customer,
yep.
And I have a ton of stuff that needs to be fixed, but my shower door is glass, and it's heavy glass. And some of those screws on the top always come loose. Mm-hmm. What would I say to your program?
So it'll depend on whether you're trying to fix it or if you're just trying to figure out what's wrong with it. But if you were just trying to figure out what the problem is, you would log in, you would go to the diagnose feature, the AI handyman, and you would explain it just like you explained it to me. I have a heavy glass door in my shower. The screws at the top keep coming loose. Can you help me figure out what's wrong? You can even upload a picture and say, this is what it looks like. And it will help you say, okay, maybe you need to put some WD-40 on it, or maybe the screws are stripped. You need to replace those screws. And it'll sort of run through the possibilities of kind of what might be wrong. And the more you prompt it and you say, no, this isn't exactly what's happening, this is what's happening, the more likely it is to get you to that sort of answer of, okay, here's what I need to do, whether that's just replacing the screws or calling, a handyman to come in and fix something with it.
That's very understandable. Yeah. I'm going to go to your website.
Yeah, awesome. That's great.
So how do we get other people to go to your website?
Sharing this widely, right? Yes. We want people to make their lives easier. ft-fy.com is the website, so fix that for you. Right now, the service is entirely free as we're trying to figure out what works and what doesn't. Should be a super simple process. Just create an account. You can start using it. There's a feedback button, so if you find things that don't work or if you have ideas of what would make it better, definitely submit that. I read all of that very, very closely. I think, my background's in product management, and so the biggest hack of how do you build something that someone will use is to listen to your users. And so I think it's just getting it in front of people. If this is what I think it is, which is going to be huge, it's just a matter of capturing some of that mind share and getting people, through the noise of the Google ads, the Google AI, all of those types of things. The more that people use it, the better that the models become.
Sure.
And eventually, sort of the long-term vision is we want to bring the professionals onto the platform too. Mm-hmm. So once we hit that critical mass of homeowners, property owners, I think that the professionals will follow. And then what the professionals will be able to do is say, here are the types of jobs that I can do. They'll say, here are the types of questions that I would ask to be able to provide a quote. And then your AI as the homeowner, right, your personalized version of here are my project details, will be able to talk to the professional's AI that has said, these are the questions that I would ask. And ultimately, there becomes kind of a back and forth between those, from quote solicitation to project scheduling, where neither the homeowner nor the professional really needs to communicate with anyone. They just need to decide, here's who I want to choose and here's when I'm available.
So I have a question. So we log on, and so do we have our own account?
Yep, you do.
So essentially, when we use your service, there's a history and a log of all the stuff that we have created or fixed or everything maintenance-wise. That in itself seems very valuable because you could have a different plumber if one plumber is not available, and they could look in your history and say, oh, this happened before. Or there could be some kind of a history that would help them in the future.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I think part of the service that I want to build with this is as you sort of build that history, not only do you know and can you provide what might be the issue based on sort of repeating issues, but you can also say we can anonymize this data and look across everyone in Escondido who's used this service. There are 100 people who have had plumbing issues and 50 of them have had this type of plumbing issue and they paid or they were quoted this price for this type of plumbing issue. It provides that price transparency, right? There's really no easy way outside of sort of handyman tasks to know what you should be paying for a service. And so with that sort of wider data, you can benchmark it. And then I love the idea of having that service history to say, this is what happened before. You can provide that to your next plumber and say, here's what we've already tried. And I think ultimately, with that information, as you go into that diagnosis tool, you can say, here's everything, check my history. Here's everything that's been tried. Try again and help me figure out what's next. We don't sell contact info. We don't sell clicks through to certain professionals. The idea is, I think eventually we'll ask people to pay sort of a nominal fee for the quotes they receive, right? So packages of 5 quotes, 10 quotes, 25 quotes. But it's sort of to cover the cost of doing business. And like I said earlier, if you're not paying for the product, you are the product, right? And so I think one of the things that we've been seeing with things like Hulu and even, you know, X and Blue Sky is like there is sort of a willingness to pay for these premium services that make life easier if it's not an obscene amount of money.
Sure. How far along in the process are you now? And when will it be like perfect?
Oh, it'll never be perfect. Where we are today is launching general availability, beta testing in, you know, now into the new year, trying to find what's working, what's not. You know, just as with any sort of software, there are always going to be things that work better and work worse. And before we start charging people for the service, we want to figure out where that is. I'm hoping, you know, by the end of March, we'll be able to release this more widely, get that flywheel going and have people sharing it with their friends, have that growth. You know, ultimately want to have somewhere around 10,000 users by the end of next year to build that sort of feedback loop of how do we keep making this better.
So far you've been doing this just you and AI.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so then at what point do you hire somebody to help you? And what kind of person will you hire?
That's a great question. I think the answer is either outside investors decide that the idea is interesting enough for them that they want to provide funding for me to build this full time. Because like I said, this is sort of a nights and weekends type project right now. And so if I can take that full time and there's that vote of confidence, then I think that's an indicator of, okay, now it's time to go out and try and hire someone who actually has technical skills and have them focus on that while I focus on growing the business. Alternatively, if, you know, we're not as lucky in fundraising over the next few months, then, you know, still want to try and get this out there, get people using it. And as, you know, we hit some of those growth milestones, a few hundred users, a few thousand users, potentially starting to charge for the product, start making actual money, then that would also be the signal that can start growing and expanding the team. But don't want to get out too far over my skis here and try and make it something that it's not before there's the signal that there's growth potential there.
That's very wise. What kind of investors are you looking for?
Mostly angel investors right now. So looking to raise a pre-seed round here in the next few months. You know, ultimately, the way that the pricing model I've conceptualized today is built, the cost of the calls, the searches, is covered by the cost of the product. So most of the investment that I'd be looking for would go into acquisition costs. So marketing, trying to get this in front of as many people as possible, sure. And then hiring that CTO. So looking at pre-seed investors, angel investors, folks who want to build out a consortium and provide that capital for the next year of runway, if they see the potential that I do.
Well, I see lots of potential.
Thank you.
And so if somebody wanted to invest, would they go to your website?
We don't take investments through the website.
They would find you through the website?
They can. So my email is just daniel@ft-fy.com. So I have all of the materials there and would be happy to chat with anyone through that. But like I said, just my name, daniel@ft-fy.com. You know, the marketing is focused on home improvement, home repair, but you could just as easily hire movers through this. You know, when I moved to Houston, had to do that as well. It was the same sort of process. Had to, you know, request a quote online, and I started getting calls from everyone under the sun. Mm-hmm. I had to say, okay, I have, you know, two floors, this amount of stuff, and they're like, okay, here's your quote. You could do the same thing with Fix That For You. It's just right now sort of marketing-wise tailored towards home repair and home improvement.
Yes, I see that. It could just, you could put anything into it and it would help you find just about everything you need.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and a variety of choices.
Exactly.
Okay. I love choices.
I also love choices, and I love it when we take a lot of choices and narrow it down to a few choices based on a very specific set of criteria that you provide, right? Have something say, or have you say like, here's what I'm looking for, and have something tell you, okay, based on that, here are the five that are best suited to those requirements.
Right. And it's tailored to your area, I would assume.
Yep. So you have to put in your zip code or you have to put in your city. right now we're not really doing any sort of geolocation with, you know, where you're searching from. I think there's that might be something along the way, but I would much prefer to have an actual technical person come in to do that. So we're doing it in a way that protects users' privacy. You know, with all of this data, with sort of the impetus being, I don't like answering phone calls, I want to maintain my privacy. We don't want to sort of counteract that in any sort of way.
Sure. And that's a big deal for us, yeah. Our privacy.
Exactly.
And making sure that all of our data is staying on your platform only, and it's not being sold to anybody else.
Yeah, exactly.
That's wonderful. And refreshing.
Yes.
I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
I think this is a great idea.
Thank you.
I'm going to use it myself.
I'm glad. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. Merry Christmas and happy holidays.
Yes, to you too.